Being that we're in the month of Elul, and these are the last days of the year, Tafshin Ayin Hey, we're closing the year and getting ready to start a new year, maybe we'll do something very special tonight. One of the stories that I enjoy the most in my life is a very touching story that appears in the Zohar HaKadosh related to this week's Parsha, Parsha's Kisavoy. There's something called the Toichacha. Toichacha means reprimand, which appears in two places in the Torah. One place is in Parshas Bechukosai. We have a Toichacha there, which consists of a whole chapter of Hashem saying, if you will refuse to listen to me, I'll hit you and hurt you in all kinds of different ways. And this Toichacha appears a second time in Chumash Dvarim, in Parshas Kisavoy. We know that Chumash Dvarim is a review of the other Parshias, but here it's 53 psukim, between half and a third of the entire Parsha of Kisavoy, which is Toichacha, reprimand. Again, Hashem saying, if you'll listen to me, you'll get all the blessings. If not, you'll get all of these severe punishments. The Zohar HaKadosh, in the section called Zohar Chodosh, this is one of the sections in the Zohar HaKadosh, tells us what the Gemara tells us in Shabbos, page 31, I believe it is, that at one point the rabbis were discussing the Roman government and how they do big things, they build bridges and other things. And there were three rabbis that were talking about this. One spoke complimentary about the government. The second one was quiet. And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal spoke out very harshly about the Roman government, that they're not our friends. And whatever they do, they're not doing it for our benefit. They're doing it, it's self-serving. The Gemara says that word got back to the government, that he made such a statement, and speaking against the government, they wanted to kill him. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal found out about this, and first he hid within the city that he was, but then he was afraid that could be the women would talk possibly, so the Gemara says he took his son Rabbi Elazar and they left. And the wording in the Zohar HaKadosh is, Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai Ozalei, he left, va'orak, and he picked up, lemadbara de Lud, to the wilderness of Lud, ve'iskiniz bechad ma'arto, and he hid in a cave there. Who? V'Rabbi Elazar Brei, he and his son Rabbi Elazar. Israchish loy nisa, a miracle occurred on their behalf, ve'nofak lehu chad charuva, and suddenly there sprouted up a buktzer tree, a carob tree, which the Gemara tells us usually takes 70 years to generate its fruit. Here a miracle took place that suddenly this tree sprang up and was producing fruit immediately. V'chad mayono demaya, and a spring of fresh water. Achli me'ahu charuva, they ate from the carobs of that tree. V'shoson me'inun mayin, and they drank from that water. And that's how they sustained themselves. One of the questions the commentaries ask is that we know that this was in Eretz Yisrael. And those of us that are privileged to be living in Eretz Yisrael know that when a tree starts producing fruit, the fruit is forbidden. It's asur. For the first 3 years that the tree is generating fruit, that fruit is called orla. It's tame, it's impure, it's out of bounds, off limits. It's under the power of the three klipos, three forces of Tumah that are mentioned in the vision of Yechezkel HaNovi, where the prophet Yechezkel saw a vision with the throne of Hashem, and it was surrounded by different forces of Tumah, a Ruach Se'ora, an Onon Godol, Eish Mislakachas. These are the terms that are used there in the Novi. So how is he allowed to eat it? How are they allowed to eat from the fruit of that tree? And one of the answers that's given is, when something is generated by a miracle, from Hashem in that form, it cannot have any type of isur, any type of tumah on it, anything that would make it forbidden in any way, number one. Number two, we know that things that, just like things that grow wild, wild mushrooms that grow, that aren't planted, you don't plant it or anything, it grows wild, there also we don't have this restriction of orla. So in this case, the fact that this was a clear miracle by Hashem, this was not a tree that was growing the way trees normally do, this is what made it clear to them that the fruit was permitted. Now the question is, out of all the things for them to be eating, why charuvin? Why carob? Why buktzer? And why specifically these two things? They were going to be nourished from these two things. The Ben Ish Chai, in his Sefer Ben Yehoyada, writes that one of the main reasons why Hashem puts a tzaddik in the world is in order to protect the Jewish people from harsh judgments, from the Midas Hadin. We know that Hashem created the world, Bereshis Bara Elohim Es HaShemayim V'Esoretz. We're told that originally Hashem created the world only with Midas Hadin. Elohim is the name of Hashem that represents judgment. Judgment, justice. You do the right thing, you're rewarded. You do the wrong thing, you're punished severely. Ish Becheto Yumas. To the point where a person commits a sin, he dies for the sin. Hashem said to Adam Arishayim, Ki Beyoim Acholcha Mimenu Mois Tomos. On the day that you eat from that tree, you're going to die. And the Gemara tells us, Hashem saw from experience with Adam HaRishon, with Chava, with everything that took place, that if he continues to steer the world just with Midas Hadin, just with judgment and harshness, there aren't going to be any survivors. So we find a little bit later in Parshas Bereishis, the pasuk says, "Biyoim broi Hashem Elokim eretz v'shamoyim." On the day when Hashem Elokim, at first it mentions Hashem's name Yud Kei Vav Kei, which is the name of Hashem that represents kindness, and only afterwards the name Elokim. The Gemara says that Hashem was meshatev; he combined kindness and harshness in order to temper the harshness, in order to ensure us that we'll be able to survive. Now, when there is a Midas Hadin, when there is a judgment by Hashem, how can that judgment be removed? The answer is that this is the Avodah. This is one of the main focuses of Tzaddikim. Tzaddikim, the leaders of Klal Yisrael, their mission is to recognize when there's a judgment against the Jewish people and to do whatever they can to sweeten the judgment. It's called Hamtoka Sadinim, sweetening the judgment, to remove it. How do they do it? There are a number of different ways. One of the ways we're told is that a tzaddik who is serving Hashem to the highest degree of perfection that it's possible for a human being to serve Hashem, this tzaddik deserves reward. He deserves to be treated with kindness, sweetness, to have a good life, to have an easy life. One of the reasons why we observe that there are tzaddikim that suffer and struggle is that they make a switch, they make a deal with Hashem. This quantity of suffering is supposed to go to this city of Jews, to this community, we'll swap. Hashem, give them the kindness, give them the blessing that I'm supposed to be getting, and I hereby accept upon myself the judgment, the harshness, the suffering. We see, for example, the Gemara tells us in the case of Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara says that his life ended in a horrific way, that the Romans raked his flesh with iron combs while he was still alive. And the Gemara says at one point his students said to him, Rebbe, why are you allowing this? The question is, what do you mean, why are you allowing this? He's surrounded by hundreds or thousands of soldiers, and the students were saying to Rabbi Akiva, we know that this has been your choice. This is something you chose willingly. The Gemara tells us that when the king made the decision to murder these, to massacre these 10 Jewish leaders, they said, excuse us, we have to send an emissary to heaven to check to see if this is what Hashem really wants. If it is, we're happy to accept this upon ourselves. If not, Rome shmom. Rome will go up in smoke the same way Egypt went up in smoke, the same way all the other guys that tried to harm the Jewish people did. And it was after consulting with the angel Gavriel that Rabbi Shmuel Kohen Gadol came back and said, this is the will of Hashem. The rabbi said, we're in. We accept this willingly. So these tzaddikim have the ability to refuse to experience pain and suffering, or to accept it. A tzaddik, when he accepts upon himself suffering, usually is doing it in order to save Klal Yisrael from having to go through that kind of suffering. That's one way. And there are other ways, through special prayers, that tzaddikim say, We know that Moshe Rabbeinu, when Hashem wanted to destroy the Jewish people, the Torah tells us Moshe Rabbeinu was mispalel, and when he saw that his prayer did not succeed, what did he do? He was mispalel. He continued to daven. The pasuk says, Kaveh el Hashem, pray to Hashem, and if it looks to you like your prayer is not being answered, you know what to do? Pray again. Go again. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu did until he got Hashem to change, to turn it around, to be willing to sweeten the judgment against the Jewish people. The Ben Ish Chai writes that the word charuv, carob, is the same numerical value as the word gevura, judgment, harshness. Mayim, water. Water represents meimei hachesed, the flowing waters of kindness. Water, our life is dependent on water. Hashem was making it clear to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal and his son Rabbi Elazar that the suffering that they took upon themselves here, to be isolated like this from their families, from their friends, to go into isolation for 13 years in a cave, and to exist on this charuv and mayim and no clothes. The Gemara says that when they were studying Torah, they would cover themselves in sand in order to preserve their clothing for tefillah. When they would daven, they would put on the clothing. Other than that, they would cover themselves in sand, which made holes in their skin. And this was part of their mission in order to be able to eliminate the midas hadin, the judgment, the harsh judgment of Hashem from the Jewish people. The Zohar HaKadosh says that Eliyahu HaNavi would come to them, to Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal and his son Rabbi Elazar, twice a day and teach them, study Torah with them. Velo yoda inish behu, and no one knew where they were. They were secluded from the world. Nobody knew where they were at this point in time. One day, the rabbis in the Beis Medrash, the Tanoim and the Gemara, were studying Torah, and they asked the following question. They said, the toichacha, the curses that appear in Parshas Bechukosai, we know that that corresponds to the first Beis Hamikdash, which was destroyed. Hashem got angry at the sins of the Jewish people, and he sent Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babel, to destroy the Beis Hamikdash and to send the Jews out of Eretz Yisrael into exile. Whereas the klolos, the curses, the toichacha that appears in Parshas Kisavoy, corresponds to the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash and the exile, the golos that we are in today. In the toichacha and the chukosai, there are curses and there are blessings, there are promises that express Hashem's love to the Jewish people. After listing all the curses, the pasuk says, V'zocharti es bris Yaakov. Hashem says, I didn't forget. I'm going to remember the agreement, the covenant that I made with Yaakov Avinu and with Yitzhak and with Avram Avinu. V'af gam zois. And even through all of this, b'hiyoisam be'eretz oyveim, when the Jews will find themselves living in exile into the land of their enemies, loy ma'astim veloy ga'altim l'chalosim, I will not destroy them. I will not forget and overlook the agreement that I made to Avram, Yitzhak, Yaakov, that their children will live forever. Whereas the toichacha that appears in Parshas Kisavoy, there we find only curses, no consolation at the end. Different, completely different than in Bechukosai. And the rabbis were trying to think, why? Why this difference? This isn't like Hashem to leave things on a bad note, to close things on a bad note. And none of the rabbis had an answer to this question. Rabbi Yehuda b'Rabbi Eloi stood up, the one who is called in the Gemara Rabbi Yehuda HaChosid, and he said, woe is to us for the great loss that we don't have Bar Yochai with us. We don't have Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai with us. And there's no one that knows where he is. And if they did know, they would not be permitted to reveal where he is. So we're stuck. These are the leading rabbis of the Gemara who had this question. And they said the only one that could answer this for us is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal. Interesting, the Zohar HaKadosh shows us in a different place that when Rabbi Elazar turned bar mitzvah, when he became 13 years old, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal made a major celebration for him in the house. They made the house like holiday, and prepared a special suda for him. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal invited all of the greatest rabbis, the leading rabbis of the generation, to come and join them in the celebration of the bar mitzvah of Rabbi Elazar. The Zohar HaKadosh says they came, they sat down, and a short while later, a fire, a raging fire, a spiritual fire, came into the house and separated between Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal and his son and all the other rabbis. And the Zohar HaKadosh says that all of these leading rabbis of the Gemara could not see Rabbi Shimon or Rabbi Elazar, and they understood that it's time to leave, that what's about to take place here is on such a high level that they were not on the level to be able to see it. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, sure enough, the other rabbis stood up, they left, they went outside the house and they stood in a distance and they saw this fire over the house, over the home of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal. Throughout that entire day, the day of the bar mitzvah, the Zohar HaKadosh goes on to say that there was one rabbi who saw it, and he asked them, what is this all about? They told him. He said, I'm going in there. His name was Rabbi Yossi ben Lekunya, who had a daughter of marriageable age, and he understood how great Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal was, how great his son Rabbi Elazar was, and sure enough, he came in, a whole long discussion, where he told Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal, this is spectacular. This makes July 4th look like darkness. This fire, this light and everything. And it's almost complete. It's almost perfect. So Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal said, what do you mean? He said, because it's almost perfect. You can't say perfection until he's married. He needs a wife. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal says, what are you hinting to? What are you trying to get to? He says, I have a great suggestion, my daughter. And sure enough, they closed the bar mitzvah with the shidduch being sealed. They were married, which we find even hundreds of years later. During the time of the Baal Shem Tov, it was normal for people to get married at that age, at the age of 13. They were married, and the Zohar HaKadosh says, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal taught Torah for 3 days, 3 days straight then, and answered all the questions that the rabbis had. This is again to show and recognize how great, how unique Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal is, even among the leading tzaddikim of his time. This is why those of us who are privileged to live in Eretz Yisrael or to visit Eretz Yisrael, one of the most special places that a Jew has the opportunity to go to today is Miron, the city of Miron, where Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal and his son Rabbi Elazar are buried. It's considered one of the most special places in Eretz Yisrael for tefillah, for Torah, for closeness to Hashem. Back to our story, the rabbis were stuck with this question. One of the rabbis, Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Yehuda, got up one day in the morning and he saw birds flying around, a whole bunch of birds flying around, and he saw one dove trailing behind them, like a little bit separate from the group. Rabbi Yossi stood up and he said, Shafnina, Shafnina Mehemna, you loyal dove. We know that the dove is mentioned in Shir HaShirim in different places in the Torah as being symbolic of the Jewish people. That just like the dove is known to maintain 100% loyalty to its mate, so too the Jewish people, despite everything we go through, despite the mistakes, in the end, we remain loyal and devoted to Hashem. So he said, you trustworthy, loyal dove, from the time of the flood, you are the one, the best choice in the world, to carry out the mission that I have. And the mission is to go to Bar Yochai, to go to find Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal, to find where he is, and go there. The Zohar HaKadosh says the dove turned around and came down to where Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda was, and stood there waiting for Rabbi Yossi to write a note in which he described the question that they had, this question about the difference of the Toichacha in Bechukosai and the Toichacha in Parshas Kisavo. Then Rabbi Yossi said what he said, the Zohar HaKadosh says. He said certain words, and the dove took off, knowing exactly where to go. It took the note in its mouth, and it went to find Rabbi Shimon. And then, when it arrived outside the cave where Rabbi Shimon was, it was flapping its wing. Rabbi Shimon saw this, and he understood that this was a messenger for him. He took the note, and he and his son Rabbi Elazar started crying. And Rabbi Shimon said, I'm crying over the fact that I'm separated from our friends. Person would think somebody like Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, if there's anybody that doesn't need anyone, that can handle being by himself and be 100% comfortable with it, who does Rabbi Shimon need? He has all the answers. He has the closest connection to Hashem. The Zohar HaKadosh says he cried al prishusanam in chavraya, over the fact that we are cut off. We've been separated from our friends. And in addition, I'm crying over these words that I see here, this question that the rabbis have that's not being revealed to them. They don't have the answer. And what's going to happen to the generation before the coming of Mashiach? This, their question was speaking about us, about the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash. They said the first Tochacha referred to the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. The second Tochacha referred to the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash and the exile that the Jewish people would be going through after that. And it seems to be just wall-to-wall curses. No blessings, no consolation at the end. We know that when a person suffers a great loss, there's a mitzvah of nichum aveilim, to console them. We don't leave it at that. We don't leave a Jew with his loss and punishment and suffering, that's it. There's a mitzvah to be menachem avel. Where's the nichum aveilim here? Where's Hashem's consolation for us after telling us we're going to go through such suffering? And Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal said, what are the later generations going to do when they read this and they'll look at this and it'll seem to them as if everything is all black, no white? Suddenly Elyonovi appeared and he saw that they were crying. And Elyonovi said, I was in the middle of a different mission for Hashem. Hashem sent me on Shlichut to go somewhere. However, Hashem canceled my mission and told me to come here immediately to remove your tears, to stop your crying. And Elyonovi said, Ey Rebbe, Ey Rebbe. He's referring to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal. He doesn't call him by his name. He calls him Rabbi. And he says to him that now is not really the time to reveal this secret, even to the tzaddikim, for them to know what's behind this. Why in the Tochach of Parshas Kisavo, it doesn't seem to give any consolation. However, and again, the however is that for you though, we're going to reveal this. And Elyonovi said to him, this is what Hashem says. The first Tochacha, the one in Bechukosai, has 32 psukim in it, corresponding to the 32 paths of the Torah. We know that the Torah begins with the letter Beis of Bereishis, and it ends with the letter Lamed of the word Yisroel. And the Sefer Yetzirah tells us that there are Lamed Beis Nesivus HaChochma. There are 32 paths of Chochma. The Toichacha in Parshas Kisavoy has 53 psukim, much larger, corresponding to all 53 chapters of the Torah, of the written Torah, the 53 parshiyos of the Torah. In the first exile, when the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed and the Jews were sent out to Egypt, they violated those 32 hidden paths of the Torah, and Hashem revealed their sin, and Hashem revealed the end, when the Golus, when the exile would come to an end. And Hashem consoled them and promised them that in the end, they're going to return to Eretz Yisrael. Whereas in the final Golus, the destruction of the second Beis HaMikdash, there the Jews went against all 53 parshiyos of the Torah, and they did it openly in a revealed way. So Hashem covered up their sin, and Hashem covered up, hid the date of the redemption, and the whole concept of the redemption is completely hidden. We don't see any clear signs of redemption. On the contrary, the Torah says, "Vanoichi hastir astir esponai b'yom hahu." That as we get closer to the coming of Moshiach, it's going to get darker and then still darker. There's no written consolation in the second Toichacha. Now, at this point in time, the Zohar HaKadosh says, a Holy Spirit came by and separated them, separated between Elyonovi and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal and his son Rabbi Elazar. And Elyonovi left in a ball of fire, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal remained with his son and stood there at the entrance to the cave crying again crying. Crying over this tragedy that the way the Torah presents the final Golos, we don't see any ray of light, any ray of hope in the Torah. Immediately, Elyanovi returned and he said, Kum Rabbi Shimon, stand up Rabbi Shimon, wake up from your sleep. He said, how fortunate you are that Hashem respects you so greatly that Hashem wants me to reveal to you now a clear explanation of what this is all about. And he said, all the consolations and all the blessings that Hashem would want to give the Jewish people are hidden inside these curses, these seeming curses, these klolos. And he said to him, a king who loves his son, even when he has to yell at him, even when he has to hit him, the king feels deep compassion inside for his son. So too Hashem, even though he has to curse, his words are filled with a hidden kindness. And he said to him, take a look. He said again, when a king gets angry at his son and he's holding a stick in his hand to hit him, the king yells, he's yelling, but in his yelling, he's crying. The king is crying himself, feeling terrible over the fact that this is necessary, that a punishment has to be given. And he said to him, take a look at the worst one of the curses that appears in Parshas Kisavoy. The pasuk says, Gam kol choli v'chol mako asher lo kosu b'sefer ha-Torah. Every type of sickness and every type of punishment that's not even written in the Torah, Ya'aleim Hashem olecha, Ya'aleim Hashem olecha, ad hishamdoch. The way most people translate those words is that Hashem will lift up those punishments against us until we are wiped out completely. But Elyanovi said in these words is hidden Hashem's promise that he will never destroy us. He said, if you know your Hebrew, it should have said Ya'ale, to lift something up. If you want to pick up a chair to throw it at somebody, you say Ya'ale, to lift it up. It doesn't say Ya'ale, it says Ya'aleim, to hide, to hide. The word Ya'ale means to hide. Olam means hiddenness. That Hashem will hide all the worst suffering. Hashem will hide it from the Jewish people. Ad hishamdach. Up to the point of complete destruction. What's up to the point of complete destruction? We know that Hashem has sworn that that can never happen. Hashem said that the Jews will never, ever be destroyed. The pasuk says, "Kein yamoid zarachem v'shimchem," that just as Hashem is eternal, so too the Jewish people are eternal. And the pasuk says, "Koyomar Hashem, im yimadu shamayim elamala," if the heavens can ever be erased above, so too the Jewish people will be erased, chas v'shalom. Meaning that the pasuk is saying it's by using that word, Ya'aleim. Ya'aleim means that these punishments will be concealed from us. Hashem will make sure that even though there's going to be suffering, even though there's going to be pain, but the worst of it, Hashem will keep covered up. He will not display it. He won't use it against us. The pasuk goes on to say, Ve'yishivcho Hashem Mitzrayim bo'oniyos, that Hashem says, I'm going to send the Jews back to Egypt in boats. Baderech asher amarti lecho, lo'yisoysef oid l'roysa. They're going to take the path that I told the Jewish people, they'll never see that path again. They'll never have to go down to Egypt again. And I'm going to put them in boats and I'm going to ship them back down there. V'ismakartem shom lo'yivecho, you'll be sold there. Hashem will sell us to our enemies, lavodim, as slaves, v'lishvochos, maidservants, ve'ein koine, but there won't be any buyers. Hashem is going to try to sell us. When a person has merchandise that they want to get rid of, and they try selling it, and there's no buyers, what do? You're stuck. The Torah is promising that Hashem will be stuck with us. There's no way ever, ever that he's going to be separated from us permanently, or that we're going to be separated from him. And by saying that we're going to return to Egypt in boats, what this is really hinting to is that just like the redemption from Egypt, just like the Geula then was with incredible miracles, where the whole world saw the greatness of Hashem, So too, in the future, the Pasuk says, Kimei Tseischomi Mitzrayim are Enu Niflois. So too, the Geula that we're waiting for now is going to be with fantastic miracles. Now, the word Onios, Aleph Nun Yud Vav Tov, means boats, ships. The word Anius also means poverty. We know that the Aleph and Ayin can be switched. We know the Torah tells us that when Hashem first created Adam HaRishon, he had garments of light, kosnos oyer, with an aleph. When he ate from the Eitz Hadas, those garments were switched to kosnos oyer with an ayin, leather, skin, so that these letters are interchangeable. The Zohar Kodesh says that this, yes, there's going to be an inflation. There's going to be economic struggle. The Gemara says, "At shetichla ein ben David bo, at shetichla pruta min akis," that Moshiach ben David cannot come until a penny will not be found in the person's pocket. People are going to experience tremendous struggle financially. And this is something that we know clearly. This is something that we see, that there are many people in Klal Yisrael going through this. This, yes, but destruction, shipped back to Egypt, no buyers. Hashem is stuck with us. The Zohar HaKadosh does say, Avol zminin kol b'nei alma lemesi alayu di Yisrael al svinon diyama. However, all the nations of the world are going to come against the Jewish people on boats. They're going to be coming on boats to get us. V'yichashvun l'sheitzol lo imin alma. And they're going to plan, they're going to want to wipe us off the earth. V'chulu tivin goyama. And all of them will sink in the ocean. Kimoda Ovid Biyoimin Kadmoin, as Hashem did in earlier generations. Vitamon Ihu Chedvo Sagia. And there, then there's gonna be great celebration. The word Onios is used here, boats. And there's another pasuk in Yeshaya chapter 43, where the pasuk says, Bo Onios Rinosam, that their song, they will rejoice with song in their boats. Just like there, it's talking about with song, so too at this time when the United Nations is going to want to destroy the Jewish people, Hashem says they're in for a surprise. They're going to sink and Klal Yisrael will sing. They're going to sink and we're going to sing. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, from the time that Hashem created the world, Hashem never allowed his harshness to be revealed to the world or his kindness, shata deruusa, other than through this path, in this manner, where Hashem said to the Jewish people, as you see the Egyptians coming to you now and wanting to destroy you, and you see them sinking, so too all the enemies of Klal Yisrael will experience this same downfall. The Zohar Kodesh again says that the wording in the Pasuk is Vehismakartem. It doesn't say you'll be sold. It doesn't say you'll be sold. It says it'll appear as if you're being sold. However, once again, Ein Koine, no buyers. It will be clear that we and Hashem are one together. And the Zohar Kodesh concludes that all of this is going to take place at the end of time. Vitalia kula bityufta. And all of this depends on tshuva, on our tshuva. In order for us to see this, to see the complete downfall of all the enemies of the Jews, and for the whole world to see Hashem's love, Pnei Yisrael, this is dependent on tshuva, as the Pasuk says in this week's parsha, in Parshas Kisavoy, that why is all of this going to take place? Leman taskilu, so that you'll understand what to do. The Jews will see this, they'll see the economic, the financial struggle, they'll see the threats, and they'll take the hint. We'll understand that it's up to us to remove all of this through our sincere tshuva. Now Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai said to Eliyahu HaNavi, exactly where does it reveal the redemption itself? Exactly when it's going to take place and all the details about it? So Eliyahu HaNavi said to him, look at the worst. Look at the worst curse, and in there is hidden the redemption. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal looked, studied it, and found the pasuk, "V'hoyu chayecha tluin lecha mineged," that your life will be hanging in the balance in front of you. You'll see yourself swinging like on a pendulum. Ufochadeto laila v'yoimam, and you'll be terrified by night and by day. V'loitamin b'chayecha, and you will not believe. You won't believe you're living through this. You're making it through this. And the Zohar HaKadosh says, so that our lives are dangling in a sense, and Chas V'Shalom seem to be in doubt, where there's this incredible uncertainty. Are we going to survive this? Are we going to make it to the finish line? And the Zohar HaKadosh says that even though the great tzaddikim know the time, they know the exact time when this is all going to come to an end, to us, to Klal Yisrael, it's something that's dangling. It's like a moving target. We cannot know this information to be able to know exactly when this is going to take place. At the end of this shiur by Elianovi, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal wrote a note towards evening, and he placed it in the mouth of this dove again. The dove left to Rabbi Yossi, who was standing in his place with his eyes searching. He was looking. He knew that the dove was going to come back with a response. As soon as he saw it, he said again, "Shafnina, holy dove, you are the most trustworthy of all the birds that fly in heaven. It's about you that the pasuk says, 'Vatovoy elov hayoino le'eserev,' that the bird returned to Noach towards dark when it was getting dark. Vehine ale zayis torof befia, and it had an olive branch in its mouth." The Zohar HaKadosh shows in other places that this alludes to the coming of Moshiach. This alludes to the holiday of Chanukah, which represents the eight days of Chanukah represent the light of the eighth level, which is the light of Moshiach. This world is referred to by the number 7 days of creation, 7 days of the week. The eighth level represents the coming of Moshiach. Rabbi Yossi went in to his friends, and he showed them the response of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal, and told them the whole story. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Rabbi Yehuda bar Beiloi started crying, and he said, "Even though we don't know where the tree falls, there it is." This is a pasuk in Koheles, referring to this giant tree, Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal. The place where he is, we are all with him. They saw that even though Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal was hidden somewhere else, Hashem opened the lines of communication. They didn't need cell phones. They didn't need fax machines. They had their own way of communicating. And we still have the ability to be inspired by him and to learn from him. And he said how fortunate is Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal that Hashem performs miracles on his behalf. And Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai Zal has the power to decree and Hashem fulfills. He has the ability to insist that something should be, and Hashem complies with his wishes, and in the future, he will be the leader of all the tzaddikim in Gan Eden, and receive, be zoicha, to see the face of the Shekhinah, and rejoice with all the tzaddikim, and say to them, "Boyu nishtacha ve'venichro," let us come and bow together, Nivrucho lefnei Hashem oisenu, and express our blessings and praise before Hashem our Creator. This is an incredible story, where the most important point of the story is that the Zohar HaKadosh is speaking to us and letting us know that at first glance, it looks very dark. You look in the Toichacha that we're going to read in this week's Parsha, Parshas Kisavoy, which we read every year at the end of the year. It's usually the last Parsha that's read before Rosh Hashanah. The Gemara says, why? Because we're saying to Hashem, let this year finish with all of its curses, and let the new year begin only with blessings. But yet the Zohar HaKadosh reveals to us that when Hashem speaks to Klal Yisrael, even in the harshest of terms, it's only on the outside, it's only external. The internal, the inside, is pure love. As the Pasuk says in Shir HaShirim, Merkavoy Argomon, the throne, the chariot of Hashem, is purple. Argomon is like a reddish purple. Toichoi rotzuf ahava. The inside is lined with love. The Sifrei Kabbalah tell us that the Shekhinah is compared to an apple. Chakal tapuch gadishna, holy apple. An apple, if you look at it on the outside, red, all red, completely red. You peel the apple, there's a thin, thin klipa, very, very thin covering. You peel it, it's 99.9% white. That is Hashem's relationship with the Jewish people. That there are times that Hashem must show a midas hadin, a harshness, a red, this red which represents din, judgment. But the inside, if you look at a Jew who knows what it's really all about, knows that toichoi rotzuf ahava. And this is why the first letters of toichoi rotzuf ahava are tuf resh aleph, which tuf resh is 600. Aleph can be one. Aleph can be 1,000. Aleph is 1,000. This refers to Hashem's relationship with the 600,000 Jews who are referred to as the Shekhinah, the Holy Spirit of Hashem. And the Arizal says, therefore, the word Shekhinah, Shin, Chaf, Yud, Nun, Hey, when you write each letter out as a word, Shin, spelled Shin, Yud, Nun, Chaf, Chaf, Pei, is Bigimatria 601. Tof Reish Aleph. That this is, when we talk about the Holy Spirit of Hashem, the Shekhinah being with the Jewish people, the Shekhinah is represented by this apple, this red on the outside, but 99.9 judgment sometimes on the outside, Mishpat, but the Mishpat is filled with Chesed. Just like the Arizal says, if you take a look at Hashem's name for judgment, the name of Hashem for judgment is Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. Adon, ruler, Melech. The word Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud is the same letters as Dino. The Gemara says, Dino de Malchus Adina. The judgment of the government is judgment. The Arizal says, let's look at what's inside that name of Hashem. Those four letters, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, when you pronounce them, each letter is actually three letters. Aleph, Aleph Lamed Pei, Dalet, Dalet Lamed Tov, Nun, Nun Vav Nun, Yud, Yud Vav Dalet. Let's see what's in the middle. Aleph Lamed Pei, the middle letter is a Lamed. The center is a Lamed. Dalet Lamed Tov, the middle letter is also a Lamed. Nun, Nun Vav Nun, the middle letter is a Vav. Yud, Yud, Vav, Dalet, the middle letter is a Vav. So that the center of Hashem's name, Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud, is Lamed, Lamed, Vav, Vav. 30 plus 30 plus 6 is 72, which is Chesed. This shows us that the Midas Hadin of Hashem, Hashem's Din, as it relates to the Jewish people, Toichoi Rotzuf Ahava, is lined with love inside. And it's this message that the tzaddikim, the Torah and the tzaddikim give us, that gives us hope and that gives us the ability to do what we can, to do tshuva, to pray to Hashem, that Hashem should change the Midas Hadin into Chesed. Hashem should show us His true kindness and help us be zoche that even before the year ends, even now, this week, Parshas Kisavoi, that Hashem should take off the covering which is dark, and the covering which is judgment, and show His true, His rachamim gedolim to the Jewish people. There's a pasuk that says, in last week's Haftorah, Berega kotoin azavtich, Hashem says, I left you in a split second. Uverachamim gedolim akabtzeich. But with great ray kindness, I will gather you in. I'll bring you back to me. We should be zeichet to see this rachmim gedolim now, with the zechus of all the great tzaddikim and the efforts of Klal Yisrael to do a complete tshuva with the coming of Moshiach, the binyan beis hamikdash, meher v'yameinu, amen v'yameinu.
Amen.